is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next up, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, the show, and what's up for today.
Welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence, and we hold the power of perception. This power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see, the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, and the seen and the unseen. Hi, I'm Janessa Finley Ford. I'm one of your hosts here today. I'm an empowerment coach who went from supervising felons to marrying one, and after turning the most challenging experience in my life into what saved my relationship and liberated my spirit, I now empower the clients that I work with to heal their relationships, addiction, and injury in the criminal justice system. And SJ joins me today.
Yeah, and my name is SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner that really focuses on helping people heal from ancestral wounds that are coming forward that can show up in many physical aspects, but also really getting to the root of genetic conditions that show up in the physical and healing them all the way throughout the energetic at all levels of the being, body, mind, and soul.
So today we are going to dive into an awesome topic of, well, one I personally did not fully believe in until I thought seeing is believing. So we are going to dive deep into aliens, our experiences that we have had, and lots of information from the intelligence community, information from experts in the field, and much, much more. So stay tuned for that. First, we're going to start off with our humorous story, though, that does tie in to aliens. So it was maybe a couple of years ago. I should preface, I really don't get sick hardly at all. And prior to this, like getting the flu, it's not in my world anymore. I don't throw up because of viruses or infections, with the one rare exception of having food poisoning earlier this year. But prior to that, like I said, this is a couple years ago, prior to that, like it just isn't within my personal world. And I got really sick. I only threw up, like barely threw up one time, but I was really dizzy and I could just feel it was a spiritual energetic attack. Like spiritual energy can make you feel physically sick. And I was laying on the floor downstairs because it was the only thing at that time that, like, I was so dizzy, I couldn't even stand up. And Travis came downstairs, and he was like, babe, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm really certain I've been cursed by a client. At that time, unfortunately, there was a client that we needed to go our own ways, and the energetics of that was unsettling. And I didn't get super into detail with that, but essentially I just said, you know, I've been cursed. And he looked at me on the floor. He's like, can I do anything? I'm like, no, I'm good. It'll pass. It'll get better. And he's like, you ate that salad, didn't you? Like you just had some salad a little bit ago. He's like, I'll go throw up a salad. And I'm like, no, it's really not the salad. It's fine. And legitimately, I ate the salad the next day and did not get sick. But the tie-in is really that when we live very much in this physical realm and we don't expand beyond only what we see and only what is concrete and only what is material, then it's hard for our minds to comprehend all that actually exists in the spiritual world. And so that is going to be maybe very relevant for the people listening who aren't sure what they think about aliens. And I'd be really curious to hear from you. You guys can come over to our Facebook page, the Stronger Together, Fall in Love with You page, and jump in that post. And if you don't believe in aliens, I'm really curious to hear how that aligns with your spiritual beliefs, if there's a correlation there for you. There's no wrong or right. I just would love to hear from you if you've had experiences with any aliens. So jump over there and share with us. I think we're going to kick it off with our own personal stories. And my encounter happened several years ago. Esther, are you cool if I share first?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I would say this was at least 4 years ago. I had started attending a metaphysical group here locally that meets and talks about all different kinds of topics, from oracle cards, tarot, palm reading, Reiki, like nothing is untouched. And one of the individuals there was really, really, really interested in extraterrestrial, UFO, close encounters. And I wasn't sure what I thought, but I decided eventually, after there had been a few different CE5, which is Close Encounter of the Fifth Kind, group meetings, that I would go check one out. So I put my brave pants on and I went over. This also was before I did a whole lot of anything in groups, like working into the metaphysical group and showing up there and really sharing openly was a pretty big step for me, being an introvert to begin with. And going to this other group, which were people I didn't know, people coming from surrounding communities, I was really uncomfortable. But I also was interested and curious. And the encounter started with everyone sitting in a circle and essentially meditating together. And the individual leading the group and led the meditation. And he just tuned in to groupthink. This was not the very first time I'd experienced this, but it was pretty new to me. And he says, well, there's someone here who's, I can't remember if he said really reserved, nervous, fearful, like any of those would be accurate. I mean, he hit the nail on the head with however he chose to explain it. And I could just feel myself, like the fire, the heat turning up, and I'm getting hotter and hotter and warmer, and I feel like I'm on fire. And I just knew he was going to call me out in this whole group where I just wanted to shrink away and hide and sit in the corner and be a fly on the wall and just experience what there was to experience with no attention on me whatsoever. And so, of course, like he doesn't ask any questions. He opens his eyes, he comes out of his little meditative tuned-in state, and he looks at me and he points at me and says, it's you. And I'm like, well, you're not wrong, and oh my goodness, do I feel exposed right now. So I had the wonderful opportunity to express my fear, which is such a common experience with the topic of aliens. We are very, as humans, built for survival, and that part of our brain kicks in first. So anytime that we're stressed beyond that, and there's so many stories around aliens, and are they benevolent or malevolent? Are they here to scientifically dissect us and study us and put implants in us and track us, or are they here to help us? And at the time, I most certainly did not know what I believed. I was in total data research mode. Like, I need to know more before I actually have a very centered belief system around this. And so the fear automatically kicked in. And I shared some of that fear. And then we did the meditation where, I mean, it was a very guided meditation, essentially to connect with extraterrestrials, to bring them to this space. And there's so much synergistic energy around group work that's a big reason why these CE5 groups happen in groups. And I believe people have individual ability to do the same, but there's a lot more collective energy when it's shared in that nature. And so after the meditation, you know, it was not like in the middle of the night late, but it was dark and it was in the summertime. So obviously sunsets much later. And we watched the sky and I'm like, well, we'll see what happens. And kind of, if I'm being honest, I'm also at the same time nervous about like, is some creature just going to show up behind the bush, like right over there? And so I'm like kind of watching over one shoulder and also staring up at the sky, having no idea what to expect. I did not see any creature, if you will, show up behind any bushes, but everything that I saw happening in the sky could not be explained by stars or planes. The big flash, I can't remember what they're called, but like the lights would flash up and flare so big and bright, and it would just be briefly, like momentarily. It's not an activity that you see in a star. And then you would see this light move vertically in the sky at such a rate that, and in patterns, like this zigging or zagging, that you don't see planes move like that. And planes would fly through the area as well. And then the UFO lights, that what we thought were the UFOs, would disappear as the planes pass through. And the planes have the blinking red lights on them. So it's very clear. It's a plane. And then when the airfields open, the lights would come back. Like, how do you explain that from a very logical human 3D world? I don't know how, but I'm super open to explanations. So if you have those, if you have thoughts, drop those in our Facebook group as well. But the light activity made me a believer, and it left me in awe. And it certainly expanded my mind beyond what I had believed to be true to that point. And my ambivalence about, are they really a thing? Are they just completely made up? Which I had believed in, you know, my younger years, especially as a kid. Like growing up as a kid, I was never afraid of aliens. And I just thought that they were like cute cartoon, whatever stories, mythical stories. All of that changed that night. And so that's essentially, excuse me, the experience that I have had in connecting with aliens. And then, of course, since then, working through energetic boundaries to feel really strong and centered. If I have communication or encounters of any kind, I don't bring that same fear that I had before into the situation, and really knowing my autonomy and agency, that it will be respected with whatever level of communication that I'm comfortable with. So I hand it over to you, SJ.
I love that. I would have freaked out. As you know, my experience, you got to be a part of my experience. Where I finally kind of opened to it. I grew up always having a general fear of aliens. I always believed in them. My great-grandmother, Granny, you guys have heard her probably a million times at this point, if you've been following me much, but very firmly a believer that aliens are real. Like, there's no doubt. Like, she would always say how silly it was that we think we're the only ones in this vast amount of universe and universes. Like, how could we possibly be the only ones? So I had always had that, yeah, they're for sure real, and I don't fool with that. This is not my jam. I think a lot of my Moldavite aversion came from that underlying fear, along with the energetics that we worked with in a pattern, Janessa, too, that was really kind of limiting from that stance, because Moldavite is one of the most healing crystals ever, but it does have a link to alien energies. So I was not down for the alien jam. It was actually this year. Was it in January, Janessa? I don't even remember. It was pretty recent. Maybe January. I feel like it was really cold. I know that. So January, February timeframe. I have chickens, if you guys don't know me. So, like, I have to go out every night and lock up the chickens. Also, the place that I live has always been super soothing, calm, healing. I've never been afraid to go outside at night, never felt off out there just hanging out in the dark until one specific night. I had gone outside to lock up the chickens. I instantly felt uneasy, like I was being watched. I saw a figure kind of behind the barn, for sure knew was not human. It was not like it was an intruder walking around. And also there were different lights within the skies that, sure, could they be satellites? Could they be other things? Probably, but all of the things together told me that's not reality. Muscle testing told me that's not reality. Pendulum told me that's not reality. My own innate wisdom told me this is something more. I very quickly locked the chickens up, ran back to the house, and I proceeded to lock all of the doors behind me. And when I got to the last one, I was almost in tears, but also laughing, like busting a gut laughing, because I literally was like, oh, my God, I am Travis throwing out the salad right now. Like, literally, what in God's green earth are locked doors going to do to protect me and my family against aliens? Literally not a damn thing, right? Like, so I had my whole panic attack of I'm about to get abducted by aliens. Like, this is what's about to happen. Of course, I phoned a friend. Thank God Janessa took my call, because it was pretty late at night. I think we were hitting the, like, 11:30 p.m., which is super late for both of us. Took my call, was like, hey, back check me. And are there aliens outside? You know, of course, all of it came back from back checking of, yes, there were multiple species, we'll call them, because I don't know what else to call them, of aliens outside. Some were super friendly, some were less than. So we ran through a lot of energetics within boundaries to boundary against the ones, you know, that were, you know, not so awesome. And then set very clear modes of boundary communications that I was willing to have with the ones that meant no harm and were really here to be of assistance. And once we really set those clear boundaries of like, hey, I don't want to see y'all. I don't need to see what you look like. I don't want none of that. If you communicate telepathically, cool, I can handle that. If it comes in a manner that kind of feels like my spirit guides, that'd be great because that feels cool. And then we can go from there. And they were super respectful. It was a very respectful communication. It was a lot of, hey, you guys are on the right path. Really great things are coming for you. I was able to discern that it was specifically Lyrans. So if you are into the different races, that was the one that communicated very openly with me and honestly has since then too. And the beautiful thing about the different species is that there are enough stories from indigenous groups, also energetic connections of being able to tap into their innate intelligences, that there's quite a bit of documentation of what each of the individual alien races provide or bring to us or can assist us with. And the Lyrans were specifically creativity, purpose, and purity. I didn't know that going into it. A lot of my research happened after that experience earlier this year, where I really kind of went down the rabbit hole of, okay, you know, there are a lot of different races of aliens, just like, you know, people are different. I immediately went towards looking up different stories from indigenous cultures from all across the world, not just in the U.S. I wanted to see all of them. And what I found was that there were at least 27 world cultures that assert that their original people came from the stars and even more have passed on traditions from contact with beings from other planets and constellations. So, I mean, indigenous communities have long known that they originated in the stars. As well, many of their cultures carry the traditions that were gifted from those star visitors, and they have passed down. I mean, I'll admit, when I look at Egyptian temples and hieroglyphs, it's really hard for me to not see the elongated skulls and really question, like, is this where a lot of the stories of the aliens come from, specifically even possibly the Greys? Which are typically the ones, you know, in science fiction movies that we should be afraid of, right? They're the ones who do a lot of the testing. They're in a lot of the scary movies. But I really kind of went down that specific rabbit hole of what do historical cultures, indigenous cultures, have to offer about these star beings. And another one that was brought up in our Stronger Together Voxer coaching membership, one of those members asked about the Anunnaki. I have always loved the stories about the Anunnaki, not sure why, but it has always really intrigued me. And I think part of it is because there are so many different cultures and religions, including Christianity, that have nods towards the Anunnaki. And to kind of go into that just a tad, I don't want to like really go down the rabbit hole, but basically there are Sumerian texts that are about 400,000 years or that state that 50 Anunnaki or specific inhabitants of Nibiru who came to Earth 400,000 years ago to mine gold, and that they may have engineered humans, created them, in order to harvest that gold. So it was a slavitude type of relationship with the Anunnaki from the Sumerian text. They really say that they were, you know, humankind was created to serve the gods, which were the Anunnaki. And some people now believe that the Anunnaki were aliens who came to Earth to mine that gold for their own uses, and that they did create us as slaves. What I found so interesting was that in Genesis 6:1-4, in the New International Version, it states, "When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them." In the book of Enoch, the first part of that book expands and interprets Genesis 6:1 that the sons of God were a group of 200 angels called watchers who descended to earth to breed or mate with humans. And their offspring are called the Nephilim or the giants who consumed all the acquisitions of men. The watchers are sometimes still called the fallen angels in multiple different texts. So I found that so fascinating that different cultures and religions have nods to these Anunnaki or fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, that it just, it's hard for me to believe that so many people were wrong or that history got it wrong that much.
And I love that.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say that I think there's a few different reasons of why the information's been covered up, but we'll get to that. I don't want to jump ahead. Keep going.
Same. But I'm getting to that point, too, because, like, when I went down, well, power and control for one, but when I went down the rabbit hole of the different races, what I found so beautiful, and even Cindy Dale talks about this, too, is that every single race has something to offer us. Every single alien race has something that they can offer, even if in like the Greys, for instance, reptilians, that is probably a trigger word for some. I could go down a huge rabbit hole with the reptilians on possible political interferences, a whole lot of other interferences, but I'm going to save that though too. That even that race has so much that they can offer us from a healing stance, and that we can honestly explore like these different races or societies and look at the different codes and practices and then intuitively search our own bloodlines to activate abilities and gifts that we might carry within based upon our DNA. So literally genetics. So if we hold those genetic codes of those different races, and I believe even if we don't, you can still energetically connect with them,
that we can amplify our own human gifts in ways that we probably haven't even dreamt of. So, for instance, the reptilians and the draconians are typically not seen as benevolent alien species for us. However, they can really assist us with power structure and shape-shifting abilities. So while a lot of those things, if you have gone down the conspiracy rabbit hole of politics, you'll probably not see those as great. However, really utilizing those concepts of power and structure, you can learn from those specific reptilians and draconians how to come into your own power, how to structure your own innate gifts in a manner that is truly going to support your soul mission, support you as a human and a being as well. A lot of them that we probably hear about more mainstream is like the Palladians, which are all about healing, consciousness, advancement, and psychic abilities. These are one of the very benevolent ones, including Lyra, but I've already kind of gone into that. You will notice that, like, I could go through these, like, probably for days on end, so I don't want to capitalize too much time, but a lot of the different alien races or species are named and classified around groups of stars or constellations. So, for instance, Sirius, which is all about evolution, harmony, and history. There's the Arcturians, the Tachys, the success. Like, they're really interested in advancement, success, building, divination, but very much into technological advances. And, I mean, my geek mode comes out, too, and I start thinking Enneagram personality structures, and probably every Enneagram 5 has, like, the Arcturian brain of, like, genius mode hanging out in there, too. Andromeda, power, interstellar travel, Cassiopeia, love, money, needs being met. So I just love the concept that more than likely one or more of these specific genetic DNA strands live within each of us. And we can access that the same way we access our ancestral energies and clean up or amplify genetic components that we want to. That also means, though, that we probably carry some of the trauma that we pulled forward from those genetic lines, from those specific alien lines and what they experienced as well. So there's so much complete work that we can utilize from energetics and shamanic journeying to either amplify some of these energies from probably our ancestors. I mean, we may as well call them our ancestors because that's my feeling on aliens, but also to clean up some of those energetic patterns that may be holding us back, just like we can see genetic paranoia show up because of our living ancestors, mom, dad, grandmother, grandfather. We could see some of those patterns showing up because of our alien genetic DNA and the races that we carry with us as well. So I hope that makes sense. I'm going to pass the ball over to you, Janessa, but I would love anybody who has questions. If you guys are in the Stronger Together coaching community, you guys are active in Voxer. I see questions coming in from there already. But also, please come into that Facebook group and join us. I would love to hear what your thoughts and opinions are on all things alien.
So I would love for you to give, if you can, off the top of your head, can you give a more tangible example of what you would link the genetic component with aliens too, like how that would show up if they are ancestors? That's probably a concept that's going to blow a lot of people's minds because Adam and Eve. But if we embrace that theory,
yeah,
what kind of genetic impact would that be that we could track in patterns, right? Because we're all about the patterns. And I find it fascinating, the correlation potentially with the Enneagram and then the characteristics of the aliens seems too coincidental to not be relevant. But
yeah,
anyway,
so
share more about the genetics.
So from the genetic standpoint, if we're carrying alien races, for instance, I would assume that their natural habitat does not mirror Earth. There are probably some differences that are less than ideal here. So allergies is a big one. Now, there's a couple of concepts on allergies. Can they be inherited? Yes. They can also be due to trauma. But trauma can occur in ancestral lines, and we can carry allergies forward from those ancestral lines. So if you are noticing that you are like allergic to everything, like everything is a problem, I would venture to explore that you have a genetic component from whatever alien line or lines you have within your DNA that is carrying forward into now. Because there's a lot of things that, you know, if you're born here, you shouldn't necessarily, and there wasn't a trauma, there shouldn't necessarily be a lot of allergies that are showing up. So I think allergies is a big one that we could be seeing from our alien DNA that has carried forward from that. Genetic paranoia, bipolarism, all of those could be linked as well back to those alien lines. They can also be linked to normal human DNA as well. But I think we could see a lot of those carried forward from the alien lines too. But also certain patterns that we see, like we see all the time, Janessa, neglect is a way of life. I really think that we could be seeing a lot of lack, like not having enough, from those specific alien ancestors that we have as well. I mean, they probably didn't leave somewhere that was real cushy and perfect. They more than likely left for a reason or a trauma, and we could be carrying that forward in our everyday life as well, is kind of my outtake on that too. But I think the really tangible one is the allergies.
Very interesting and fascinating to think about tracking back further than human lineage. And
yeah,
how deep
and I think
that rabbit hole can go.
For sure. And I think as even healers, I can tell you prior to really jumping into this, I looked at ancestral lines from the human stance. I didn't necessarily go back to starseed, back to origination stories. And really, until I started working a lot of original wound stories for people, which alien scenes were coming up as where their original wound happened was on an alien planet or somewhere definitely not Earth, right? That's when I really started to explore what else is living within those ancestral alien patterns that perhaps I had been overlooking prior to that.
So cool. So let's talk about how to communicate with them a little bit. We don't have to get super deep into it. But, you know, my experience within the CE5 group and outside the CE5 group has been all through thought, like the speed of thought. And scientifically, we study somewhere along the line. Science wasn't necessarily my fave, but speed of light, speed of thought is very quick as well. And this is how, for people who have not ever experienced psychics, mediums, collective consciousness communication, it's exactly that. And so our ego separates us from these thoughts that they think they're all ours. We have such strong ownership over our thoughts that it shuts us off. It keeps us very physical. It keeps us very 3D. It keeps us very much here in what we can touch, feel, explain. But when we open ourselves up to the fact that there's really only one, if you want to call it a brain, like one consciousness, and that's what everyone can tap into. It's what everyone shares. It's one energetic being, not being as in a person, but just energetic. You tap into it, you think a thought, and then you leave open space to see what thought comes back in. It's the same way you communicate with your spirit guides, if you believe and do that. It's the way psychic mediums give readings of ones who have crossed over and can be very real and validate things that you did not tell them. And they will share the first mediumship reading I ever had. They connected with my grandma because I have been very blessed. I haven't lost a lot of people in my life. And the verification that this person gave, and I had never shared this, I love SJ's granny was very impactful. Like, she talks about it a lot publicly. Well, this, of course, was back when I was just getting started and in the metaphysical world. And so I didn't share a lot personally. Anyway, the verification was that my grandma had one leg amputated. Like, you probably can't just make that up, and that's really actually very true. So things like that, like when you start experiencing it and seeing it, I don't know how you unsee it. And so communicating through the telepathic means opens you up to all sorts of information.
Absolutely. I also just want to throw in there, too, like another way that we communicate a lot through daydreams. So 96% of all adults perform daydreaming at least once a day. Neurologically, daydreaming occurs as a stimulus-independent thought, which means that we don't rely on the external environment. It's literally just kind of a default loop that allows us to respond to ourselves and learn more about who we are. And daydreams are most likely to bring happiness if they are about people you already know, or if you are fantasizing almost about things from the history that will have impact on your life. There are a couple of techniques within shamanic journeying to connect with aliens, and there's three that are related to dreaming. One being dream telling, imagining what has been. So connecting with, like, your history. What did your alien experience ancestors go through? Dream making, creating what could be, where we would actually work with those energetics of the different races to amplify your own innate gifts that you literally hold within your epigenetics and DNA. And then dream walking, experiencing through the dream state what is being created, where you literally can dream walk and experience what is happening in present day with those alien ancestors. What does that planet look like, and what does that mean for you? So there's a ton of really cool ways to connect with the aliens of present and past through shamanic journeying.
I love that it's not limited to just one. And that's really, like, with our work, combining our work within Stronger Together, like, our belief is really that there's, I always say, one more than one way up the mountain. And not everything is for everyone, but there's something for everyone. And so if this is something that you want to, if you're already communicating, practicing, there's some different techniques for you to try. And perhaps one will work really well and one won't work so well at all. And that's okay. Take what works, take what resonates, and leave the rest. One thing I did want to mention, and this may be basic information people already know or maybe not, people are probably very familiar with the term UFO, unidentified flying object. More recently, the term UAP is being used for aliens and extraterrestrials, and it stands for unidentified aerial phenomenon. And there has been actually a little bit of an evolution around the language or the wording with aliens as well. And it's really interesting. This aligns with my other series, and I love how these things do interconnect. But the fact that there is a desire for control over our consciousness, a desire for control over our thoughts. So initially, aliens, aircrafts were referred to as flying saucers. And I don't recall when they changed the language to UFO, but I think it might have been like in the 50s. It was quite a while ago. And now more recently, we've adapted that language to UAP. And I believe that is for, you know, this purpose of trying to control or influence how we think about things, like a phenomenon versus a flying object, an aerial phenomenon. Like, if you just think about the language of that and you tune into your body, like, do you have more aversion to one than the other? Are you more curious about one of those titles versus the other? These are really subtle ways, but all of these really subtle ways of using language to talk about things is how they influence, or how we are being influenced and programmed around our responses and whether we are open-minded to things or closed off from things. And so I think they are moving to trying to have less aversion to, oh, it's an alien, it's a flying object, it's a flying saucer, it's an unidentified object, to it's an aerial phenomenon. And I think over time, however, that connection and connotation of aliens, I mean, I think it's all just going to follow it. It'll be really interesting to see if it does or doesn't. But a little bit of a sidebar there. So if you hear us refer to UFO or UAP, we're actually referring to the same thing. And that is why, because there was recent language change around how we name them or what we call them. So SJ, why do you think aliens are interested in Earth or humans?
Well, I think they're interested in Earth and humans because we are their offspring. We are their ancestral lines. I think they're invested to see what have we cultivated? What are we doing? How are we moving through this? I think that their planets, their constellations were becoming uninhabitable, and I think they did try to implant their own genetic seed and offspring here. And I think they have a vested interest in our success because of that. So that's where I'm at. Why do you think they're interested?
Well, from the research that I have done, I do have to say that your philosophy is not one I've considered. And thank you for sharing that. You're expanding my mind just in this conversation. So from what I have researched and going back to the concept that everything is one, like, how many galaxies are out there? I personally don't know. I haven't researched it, but it's not just the Milky Way. and all of that is connected. So, and you know more about scalar waves than I do because you utilize them within your modality. So much of what I've learned about scalar waves comes from you. So feel free to jump in here. But one of the things I researched was the scalar energy. And scalar energy is a part of, like, atomic bombs. Mm-hmm. And aliens, I believe from what is documented, now keep in mind whatever's classified, declassified, what do they want us to know, what don't we know? Because I for sure believe that there's disparity between those two. But there was a larger presence of alien activity, at least that was documented, recorded, and released after the A-bomb was dropped. And so within the scalar energy that is affected, altered, it disrupts the interstellar, like time, energy. So what we're doing here on Earth and the way that we are living is having an impact and the ripple effect out beyond just the Milky Way. So they have a vested interest in what we're doing for their own welfare. Is there anything with the scalar waves that you want to break down for us with what you know about them?
Yeah, I mean, you really covered that beautifully because, yeah, from what I've seen as well, there was a lot more interest with the A-bombs when that came about, and it did have to do a lot with the scalar waves. And scalar waves are essentially free energy that is available to everyone. Those of you who have worked with me in group or private session, you have felt how impactful just you utilizing absolute scalar waves are for you. And also you've seen the impact of how your family members have changed when you have utilized those scalar waves to shift. So then when you amplify that into the form of a nuclear bomb, I can't even imagine how far-reaching that was. And I think we do disregard a little bit the collective consciousness would include all alien species as well. So, I mean, when our vibration becomes so low that we are using nuclear bombs, you're going to feel that interstellarly even when the bombs aren't necessarily dropped. I also firmly believe that aliens are much more connected to their intuition and to, honestly, reality as well, that certainly when that level of energy is expended, it's going to cause a light in the sky that is going to probably get a whole lot of attention of what are they doing, why, and also this needs to not be happening. So I think that's also probably why with the current energetics that we're seeing with the world of why we're seeing more of the UAPs or the UFOs too.
Yeah, I think it is so normalized for us. There has been war for far more years that I've been alive than I haven't. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's likely even true for my grandfather, who's 96 years old. He's almost made it an entire century, and he's served in the war. Like, worrying is such a normalized facet for us that we don't think about what would it actually be like if everyone was peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually about the civilizations that we don't know anything about that aren't here on Earth that are peaceful, and the impact that our discord has upon everything else that's interconnected. Like,
yeah, I mean, laws of attraction apply here too, right? So, I mean, if we are in discord, we are more than likely going to attract other societies that are also in discord. So, I mean, I think that there is a vested interest from those species who are of the light, who are kinder, more loving, to really help us raise our vibration to mitigate a lot of those lower vibrational energies that I think we're really kind of coming to like a head right now as a society, as a people, as the universes, as a collective. And I say a collective, and I entirely mean every alien species and galaxy and universe as well, of we have a real decision to make of which way are we going to go.
Yeah, I love you bringing up the discord. And real quick, if you guys haven't listened to the episode last week, you might want to jump back into the archives and give it a listen and then join me next week, because I am going to continue to explain who, why, how there's such a vested interest in us being in discord. And it's a reason why I think that aliens are interested in Earth and humans, not just from the bomb dropping, which then increased the activity as we know it to be documented, but our science has been utilized heavily for war purposes, for devising technologies for power and control, for harming one another, for submitting one country to another. And again, if you think about a civilization that's just completely in peace, doesn't really serve any purpose of what they're trying to create. And it just really, like, I cannot wait to live in a world of peace. I hope that happens in my lifetime. It's a big purpose of why I'm here, and that peace starts within and is a huge foundation of the work that we do, to stop pointing the finger to everyone around us and how they need to be different, and to take our own accountability and ownership and look inward and create the peace within us, and then continue to raise that collective consciousness a little bit based upon our own peacefulness, based upon our own healing, based upon how we show up for other people when we're in that place of peace, that we aren't triggered by whatever they have going on, and it's just their thing that they have going on, and we can help them process through it, versus the ripple effect of discord. Like, we have to be holding ourselves to a different standard of conduct and being to not be triggered by those around us, for exactly what Esther said, the law of attraction, creating something that is going to help one another versus being at cause of what is going on in other people's lives. So as we are moving closer to the top of the hour, we still have so much content to share with you guys on this topic. We will have to continue the conversation going forward in 2 weeks when SJ is back with us. And these things that I did say that we would get into at the top of the hour or at the beginning of the show regarding the intelligence community, experts in the field, what's being predicted, what they're forecasting for us to start seeing, we're still going to get into all of that information. We just don't have the time or space to do it here, right now, today. So as we move to kind of wrap up and close out, is there anything else, SJ, that you'd like to share today about aliens, UFOs, anything that we've talked about?
No, because if I start, I'll keep going. Like, there's so much more information that I would love to share with this, so I will be patiently awaiting the next episode in 2 weeks on the aliens. But I do want to share a free opportunity for everyone as well, though. Janessa and I are holding a free workshop on Monday, April 17th at 6 p.m. Central Time that is tailored around unraveling resentment to reclaim your freedom. So resentment is really a feeling of bitterness or indignation at a person or a situation. And resentment, just like anger, distracts from the root of the issues and prevents us from really addressing what is at the heart of matter or what is the real problem. Like, what are we actually trying to resolve right now? So when we carry around resentment, we're actually carrying extra baggage of all of the underlying angst, too. So when we're balanced and standing in our own power, resentment is really a warning signal notifying us to do something completely different to protect our boundaries and our value systems. But this really requires healthy boundaries and the ability to acknowledge when they have been violated as well, so that we can really take inspired action on those feelings of resentment as soon as they appear, rather than harboring them and letting them turn into something heavier and something that can actually cause physical disease within the body as well. So we really wanted to create this workshop and offer it free to our community so that you can really release the old, deeper wounds which have created the resentment. And so you can course correct wherever you feel that resentment in the future and recognize it as a warning signal, assisting you to really stay in your power and not dive into that victim mentality. And when you release resentment, you make room for a more harmonious way of interacting with loved ones in your life. But even more powerful, in my opinion, is that you create space to attract uplifting people that will bring positivity and growth-based love into your life, where that love isn't transactional. You really start to attract people who love you for who you are, and there's no strings attached. So in this workshop, you will identify and release resentment, cultivate compassion, and become willing to forgive yourself and others. Because self-resentment is huge. That is one that we are focusing on in the Stronger Together membership community this Thursday at 7 p.m. So if you really resonate with that self-resentment, this Thursday is where you're going to want to be at 7 p.m. But in the free workshop, we're also going to address resistances to letting go of resentments, including the ego. We will lovingly make energetic amends with yourself and others, transform the desire of revenge to peace and healing, to one of peace and healing, and also reclaim your freedom and self-confidence to attract those harmonious relationships that are what you actually desire. And you can find the link to claim your seat in that free workshop at crystalandcurrents.com or at Janessa's page on fiercelyradiantsoul.com. And again, that is April 17th at 6 p.m. So this Monday is when we're going to jump into that free workshop on resentment. I hope to see you all there. It's an opportunity to really kind of get a feel for what the Stronger Together coaching community looks like, feels like, and see what that resonance fit is for you.
Yeah, and if you jump into our Facebook page, too, to join the conversation today that we're having around aliens, you can also find all of our events coming up in the events there. So there's lots of awesome information. I'm so pumped about the self-resentment just because I lived in that state for so long, I didn't even recognize that's what it was, and to break free of that is so liberating. So next week, I will be back, as I mentioned a little bit ago, solo to continue my series on how our systems are designed and developed for power and control, why that is, how they're all connected, what that connection is, what money has to do with it. We're going to go deep. I hope you will join me. And in the meantime, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.